You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about video games from back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening. If you're new to the show, welcome. Have a seat. This is our retro gaming podcast. I just like to sit around and talk about old video games, and that's what I'm going to do again. This week, episode 44, I'm not sitting down with one of my buddies, I'm sitting down with two of my buddies. It is the first ever three-headed episode of the show. My two friends shared a microphone, so as you guys have probably become quite accustomed to, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, the sound quality is up and down. I don't know what I'm doing, you guys are aware of that. My two oldest friends, and I say that not in age fact, but in the sense of like the two people I've known the longest in my life. As far as my friends go, my buddies Rob and Daniel from Calgary, I met them in like grade two, I think, both of them, like in the early 90s. And we played a lot of video games together, and it was really cool getting a chance to catch up with them. I was on the road for comedy, and they were in town, or in their town, and I was like, you guys want to hook up and do some podcasts? And they said, fuck yes, and we did. And this week, episode 44, we're talking Super Metroid. For the Super Nintendo, which is, you know, if you're listening to this show, you already know what a Super Metroid is. It's one of the greatest video games of all time. So I'm pretty excited about that. Before I get to that, though, you guys know how it works. I got to do all my plugs, all my blabbing, I'll try to keep it under 10 minutes, but I make no promises. We are on all the social medias. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/rememberthegame, and we're on Twitter and Instagram at rememberthegame, just like remember without the RE at the front. We try to follow back everyone that follows us. I like interacting with people there. We post about all our upcoming episodes. I post hints the day before of what the next episode is going to be. So if you're on any of those, please throw us a follow. We'll follow you back. We'll plug whatever you got. I don't care. I'm not above any of that stuff. I'd also like to give a couple of shout-outs quick. First and foremost, a shout-out to my pal Tyler. You guys, he is a regular on the show here. You may remember him from the episodes. I've had a lot of coffee this morning. You may remember him from such episodes as Spider-Man, Tony Hawk, Resident Evil. I think he did Chrono Trigger with me. He's been on a ton. Anyway, him and his baby mama, Brittany, just had their first child, a little boy. So, Tyler, I don't know if you're listening to this or if you're busy doing the whole super dad thing, but if you are listening, congratulations to you both. That's awesome. I hope that it doesn't cut into your game playing too much, but no, I'm half joking. You can tell I don't have kids because I don't know. But congratulations, buddy. I'm happy for you both. That's great. I also want to give out a quick shout out to some people that have been leaving me reviews. As you guys know, I try to read them on here, at least give shout outs for them. If you're listening to the show and you're enjoying it, please leave me a review somewhere. I'd really, really appreciate it. If you've been leaving them on Spotify, I don't know how to see them. But I still do appreciate it very much. But if you're leaving them on iTunes, I do see them. And I want to give a shout out to a couple quick right now. Tomato Rancher, 5 stars, one of my weekly waited for podcasts. Even the games I never played as a kid. I was a Sega PlayStation kid are awesome listens. You actually make me want to pick up a Switch. Keep it up, man. I really enjoy the pod. And also to Bullfrog 1221, thanks for doing what you do. It's rad to hear someone my age with a similar appreciation for old games. So they both left a 5-star review on iTunes. Thank you both so much. And also a quick shout out to Tender Gopher and Steven. I don't know how to say your last name, Steven. Leaving comments on YouTube, I really appreciate those as well. So if you guys are liking the show, please give me a shout out somewhere. I'll try to read them and give you a shout out back. That'd just be really, really cool. It's on weeks where I don't feel like doing the podcast, and there have been a couple. It keeps me going, and apparently it's good for the podcast to get reviews. I don't really know what it accomplishes, but thank you all very, very much. I'm at a bit of a crossroads with the show right now. It's not going anywhere. I got tons of episodes in the bank, tons more planned. That's not a problem. I just have been, I can't remember if I talked about this at all last week, but I've been having a couple of meetings with a couple of people about, you know, the idea of running ads or opening a Patreon up for it or stuff like that. And I just don't know if that's something I want to do with it or if I just want to try to keep it a hobby. Because I think it's a great hobby for me. I fucking adore it. And, you know, I do stand up comedy for a living most of the time away from this. And this is just a great escape from that where I can just focus on video games, which is my number one thing in life. I like, other than, you know, my girlfriend and my dog and my friends and stuff. I love video games so much, especially old video games. And I'm very torn on if I should try to sink more money and time into this thing or just keep going the way it is. You know, streaming and stuff is huge right now. And honestly, if I could quit stand up and just stream old video games for a living, I would. But I'm a 35-year-old man with a mortgage and bills, and I cannot afford to just start over and try to learn how to stream right now. It'd be a great kind of side hustle. So I don't know if you guys do any of that stuff. If you're on Twitch, if you stream, if you upload Let's Plays or anything like that, reach out to me on the Facebook page or on Twitter, Instagram, and just tell me you're into it. I just like to pick your brain. I'm curious to know how it works for you and if you like doing it. That's all. Just if you're into that stuff, I'd be interested in talking to you. So shoot me a message. Okay. What else is going on in my life? I picked up a PlayStation Classic last week, after months and months of shitting on it on this podcast. Best Buy had them on sale for $30 Canadian. So I finally caved and bought one. And admittedly, when this thing was full price, which is, I think, $130 Canadian, it was not worth it. Right now, it's priced at, I think, $80 Canadian, and that's still not worth it. But $30, you know, because, I mean, now that Best Buy put, because when Best Buy put them on sale for $30, excuse me, I dragged my feet on it for a couple of days, and then I drove over to the Best Buy near my house to get one, and they were sold out. So clearly that was the sweet spot to sell them, was at $30. I ended up ordering one off their website. So other stores are going to follow suit, I'm sure. And if you're into old video games, for $30, I recommend it. It's there's a lot of garbage on it. They clearly half-assed the interface and everything. You know, I love the NES and SNES classics, but they allowed you to do 4 save states for one game. And this one allows one, and it's really easy to not save by mistake or oversave your thing by mistake or like right over your save that you didn't mean to. Just not a, like, I just can't believe that a company as big as Sony fucked this up that bad. And I get that it wasn't like a huge priority for them, you know, with the PS4 selling a trillion units and everything, but this thing is just, it could have been so much better than it was. And I'm not even talking about the games. I'll get into that in a second. I just mean like the interface and the lack of options and everything. It just, you know, the half the games that are on it are like the European versions or something, so they run slow and just a piece of crap. But for $30, check it out. It's worth it just for Final Fantasy VII, Metal Gear Solid, Resident Evil, and Wild Arms, in my opinion. And then there's still a couple of good games on there, like Mr. Driller's on there. Intelligent Cube is pretty cool. It's a puzzle game. There's some stuff on there worth playing. It's just for not more than $30. And apparently it's very easily hackable, which I'm going to attempt to dig in under the hood and see what I can do with it. But people have pointed out that the library on it sucks. And I agree with that. There's games that should have been on it that weren't. To me, when I think of the PlayStation, the original PlayStation, the first thing that comes to mind is Tony Hawk. But I understand why the Tony Hawk games aren't on there, because I assume that there's kinds of license. You know, it's the same as like you don't get wrestling games on the classics and stuff like that. You know, you got to deal with licensing. I'm sure you have to talk to all the different skateboarders that appeared in it. There's music. You know, it's a pretty complicated soundtrack. I don't know if it's worth going through the hoops they would have to go through to get it. So I would love to see Tony Hawk on there, but I get why it's not. People have pointed out Crash. For sure, Crash Bandicoot and Spyro. I would love to see them on there, but I could listen to the argument that they have had remakes released of their games or remasters or whatever you want to call them. So, you know, why do you need the old ones? I just finished playing through the Crash, the new Insane trilogy on my Switch last year, and it was pretty rad. Like, it was, I have no urge to go back and play the original PlayStation ones now. If I ever want to play them again, I'll play the new ones. So, but they should be on there. Castlevania Symphony of the Night should be on there. I can only imagine the only reason that's not is because they didn't want to pay for it. Because it's on, like, I was playing it on my Vita, like, it's on the PS Store. So, Symphony of the Night should be on there. I would have loved to have seen Resident Evil 2 and 3 to go with the first one. I mean, if the NES Classic can include all three of the original Mario Brothers and the first, or, and Zelda and Zelda 2, then, like, there's no reason you couldn't have put the second and third Resident Evils on there. And I don't know why they went with Twisted Metal 1 when Twisted Metal 3 and 4 were so much better. But that's just me. So there's definitely more they could have put on it. But for $30, if you see one laying around, give it a shot. It's not bad. They've become my go-to way to play retro games or on the classic consoles. I fucking love them, man. I just shit all over the PlayStation. But like, once I get some more games on it, it's going to be rad. It's the same as my NES and SNES Classic. They're absolutely my preferred way to play now. It's just convenient. I used to love collecting, and I'm not shitting on people that collect, because I think that video game collectors are awesome. I love like just scrolling through the Reddit pages and Instagram and stuff and just looking at people's collections. I used to do it myself. I do want to do an episode on collecting coming up. We just haven't been able to get the scheduling right between me and the guest I want to do it with. But there's nothing wrong with collecting. I prefer save states. I don't have a lot of room, I prefer classic consoles because I don't have a lot of room, and I like having access to save states. Partially because I spam them in the more difficult games, like I have, like, you know. And don't fucking sit there and be like, "We'll get good," because I am good. But some of those games are just intolerable without save states. They make it infinitely more playable, some of these games. And it's convenient, you know? We all remember playing a game. We've probably talked about it on the show half a dozen times. We all remember playing a game as a kid and not being able to get to a save point right away and then having to leave your console on all day and stuff like that. And it's nice to be able to just hit anytime, you know, I gotta go to work or I gotta walk my dog or whatever. I can hit pause, save state, get out. You know, it's just the way to go. So and using those classic controllers are just nice, you know. It's and I will give the PlayStation Classic credit. Granted, it should have been a DualShock, and again, they cheaped out and they didn't make it a DualShock, but it's nice to use the old vintage controllers, just like with the NES, the SNES. I can't wait for that upcoming Genesis Classic. I'm pretty tempted to pre-order one, but I'm so against pre-ordering, but I'm tempted, because that would, like, to have the NES, SNES, PlayStation, and Sega Genesis Classics all just sitting on the shelf is... Oh, that's a retro gaming dream right there. So, okay, good enough. I've been 11 minutes I've been ranting, and I haven't even talked about Super Metroid yet. What have I been playing over the last week? Tetris 99, of course. Best game ever. Fucking love it. I finished Cuphead on my Switch. If you guys have a Xbox One, a Switch, or a decent gaming PC, I cannot recommend Cuphead enough. But you have to like hard games. As long as you're into hard games, it is so worth it. I fucking adored that game. If they release any DLC, if they release a sequel, anything, I will buy it. Hands down, I will probably pre-order. I will pre-order any DLC or anything they want to put out for it because it's that great. And apparently some of it's coming, my buddy Chris was saying. So give us more Cuphead. Fucking so good. I'm almost done Shining Force on my Sega Genesis Classic Collection. There's going to be an episode coming up on that for sure. And I've been playing through Resident Evil on my PlayStation Classic. I know we did an episode on it, but I never actually officially played through the original Resident Evil, and I'm doing it now. And I'll tell you, like, it took me about an hour to get used to the tank controls and all that stuff, but I'm totally in now. I fucking love it. I can't wait to find a way to get Resident Evil 2 and 3 on there. And totally, I get it. Like, to me, Resident Evil 4 is the peak. It was the first Resident Evil game I ever really played, and I cannot wait for that game to come out on Switch in May. But the original one is holding up, man. I'm having a great time with it. So PlayStation Classic, it's not all bad. All right, 12 minutes. I'll talk about the game we're talking about this week. I'll shut up, and then we'll get to the podcast. So like I said, this week, we're talking Super Metroid. It's one of the greatest SNES games of all time. It's one of the greatest video games of all time. It's incredible. And I'll tell you guys, like, I was a diehard Super Nintendo kid, and as you know, I still am a diehard SNES fan, but I missed this one. I never played it. My buddy Daniel, one of my guests this week, I remember seeing him play it a little bit at his house. I never really played it myself, though, and I didn't finally get around to it until years and years later when it dropped on the Wii Virtual Console. It was like $7 or something. I finally took a stab at it, and it was fucking awesome. It is so good. I mean, you guys all know. If you're listening to this, you've probably played Super Metroid. You know how great it is. When you look up lists where people list off the top SNES games of all time, I can almost guarantee that the top three games on any top SNES games of all time list, unless it are going to be some combination of Link to the Past, Super Mario World, Chrono Trigger, and Super Metroid. It's going to be three of those four. And like to consistently be mentioned in the top three, in one of the greatest libraries in gaming history, it says something. You know, this, fuck, it's so good. I mean, Metroid's been around for quite a while. I know there was the original on NES and stuff like that. Obviously, Super Metroid's where they hit their stride. And then they dropped the Metroid Prime trilogy, beginning with the GameCube, which took the series and put it into a first-person shooter aspect. And I've only ever played the first Metroid Prime, and I liked it. I liked it quite a bit, but I do greatly prefer the 2D side-scrolling Super Metroid style, just like I do with my Marios, my Zeldas, pretty well everything I play. I just love the 2D aspect better. But having said that, it's Super Metroid. It's incredible. It's I adore Metroidvanias, the genre, and this is the original, right? Like, it's like it's in the fucking name. It's one of the biggest reasons I want SNES games on Switch is to play Super Metroid on the go. It'd be the way to play. It's so fucking good, you guys. If you haven't played it, I suggest skipping this podcast, going and playing it, then coming back. And at this point, I already have your download, so that's perfect. But go play it. It's available on, it's on the Super Nintendo Classic. It is on, I believe it's on the 3DS Virtual Console. I know it's on the, like, the Wii U Virtual Console. It's very easily accessible, and it is an absolute masterpiece. So with that said, I'm going to cue the music. There it is. I am joined by two of the oldest friends I have from my absolute childhood, from when I was a single-digit age, and that is my pal Daniel and my buddy Rob. And we had a great time in Rob's basement a few weeks ago reminiscing about the phenomenal Super Metroid. It was originally released in North America on April 18th, 1994, and we're going to tell you why it is so great right now. Kick back, relax. Here we go. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work, gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
All right. Okay, we're back on the road. We're down in Calgary. I don't know when this one will go up in relation to the other one we just recorded, but I'm hanging out with two of my oldest friends, two buddies of mine from a fucking long, long, like mid-90s, early 90s elementary school we're talking. So half of you probably weren't even born yet. And that's...
you have a young crowd base, huh?
Yeah, well, I think some of them are. I can't imagine anyone too young listens to this because they don't know these games. Yeah. They're like... It's like trying to... Okay, sorry. I'm going to introduce them first. It's my buddy Rob.
Hello.
And my friend Daniel.
Hey.
And they are sharing a microphone, so I hope the sound is good. No, it's like, okay, just quickly before we get into the game this week. It's like, have either of you ever tried to get like a young... my nephew's 12, and he has a Switch. He loves it. And Nintendo started releasing the NES games online on the Switch. And I've tried to get him to play. I'm like, dude, you need to play. I was like, Super Mario Brothers 3 is on. I was like, you need to play that. And he's like, these suck. And I'm like, I'll slap you. But it's like, because they don't know, because they didn't grow up with them, right? I just...
My buddy at school is just turned 21, so 15-year age difference. So I talk about things, and he's like, I got nothing, man.
It's crazy to me, hey? Like, generations that, like, I mean, I know we grew up with the Nintendo 64, but there are kids who, like, their first console was a Nintendo 64. So to them, that is, like, our NES, right? And then kids that had, like, a PlayStation 2 is their first console. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I was, like, in high school when I had a PlayStation 2. Like, it's fucking weird to me.
You meet someone like, the first game I ever played was Final Fantasy X. You're like, yeah, I was in high school.
Yeah, right? I'm like, that game sucked. So someone's going to be mad at me now. But
we're not here to please everyone.
No, we're not. I don't care.
That sucks to be you, buddy.
Yeah, that game does suck. But we're not talking Final Fantasy X this week. We are talking... I would think pretty universally considered one of the greatest action video games of all time, an absolute masterpiece, and for my money, the best game in the series, and that is Super Metroid for the Super Nintendo.
Damn straight.
And I know there are people that are Metroid Prime fans, and Metroid Prime is great. They're fun games, but give me 16-bit side-scrolling pixel art games over that any day, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So now because I didn't own this one. I didn't barely even played this one until later on in life. I remember playing it at your house, Dan.
Yeah, I had a bunch of games my dad had gotten off a friend or something that we had for a few years, and this was one of them. And I think I played that thing two or three, four times.
Oh, okay. What about you, Rob? You didn't have this one growing up?
No, I think I rented it a couple times, but never got a chance to beat it.
Yeah.
You know, no internet back then. I just couldn't keep track of everything. Like, you had your little graph paper trying to write everything down. But I didn't fully beat it until probably an emulator, I think, on Dan's computer when we were roommates.
That's what it came down. Yeah. It was Virtual Console on the Wii.
Yeah.
It was the first time I beat it. And, like, I cannot imagine beating this game. Okay, I can imagine beating it. I can. And we were just talking about this off before we started recording. I cannot imagine coming anywhere close to 100%ing it pre-internet. I cannot fathom that.
Without a guide, I don't know how anybody ever did.
Right? Like, yeah. It's, I mean, I guess, like you said, Rob, you could draw maps and fucking have everything planned. Like, maybe that's your best bet, but, like, this game was so big,
but
man.
How many hidden things, like the smallest little square on one hallway that if you shot up and you got an extra set of missiles. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't have known that as, like, when we were younger, right?
There no, was no, for sure. That. And this one, like, have either of you played the NES one?
I was going to say yes, but no, I played the Game Boy one, and I've only ever played remakes, like the Zero Mission. I haven't actually played the original.
Okay, well, you...
No, I have it on the Nintendo Mini, but I haven't loaded it up.
Nah, yet. Dude, it, like, I probably put 3 or 4 hours into it on my Switch, and it's like, it's... You can see the blueprints of what became Super Metroid, but it is fucking impossible. And if you're listening to this and you've beaten the NES Metroid without doing something cheap, like... Hats off to you, because that game is vicious. Like, Super Metroid can be vicious.
Yeah, there's so many little things and moments.
Yeah, it just feels like there's so many, but like the NES one is worse. That's what I was going to say. But yeah, like the Super Nintendo one, like, it just feels like there's so many, like, for lack of a better term, like traps. Like, you'll end up in a room where, like, you fall into the ground. You know, there's a lot of rooms where the ground hurts you, right?
Lava, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you... Yeah, yeah. And then be like, you don't even have time to get out. You're just like, and it, but the thing is it takes a good like 20 seconds to kill you. Cause like, if you've got all your energy and it's all full, but you know, you're fucked. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
oh, and that's just, you're either waiting for it to count down or you're trying to time that little half-hearted jump when you're underwater, the just right to just get out.
Yeah.
And then you get out and you get hit by a dragonfly and die.
Oh, God.
Back into the hole. And you're,
yeah, yeah.
That sense of desperation where you're just like waiting for your life to die. You're just like, come on, just this is torture.
It's vicious, man. I think that, like, to me, that's one of the crowning achievements of Super Metroid is that as frustrating as that game can be for the fucking ways it can kill you and the ways that you can go from having a great game to being dead in like 30 seconds. You're like, let's go again. Like, there's something about it. Like, and to me, that's what it deserves a lot of credit for, is it's good enough to be like, oh, come back and try again. And you're like, yeah, okay. Like, I know I'm going to die again, but fuck yeah, let's try again. Yeah, you know,
I played it last year and it was easy to kind of pick up and go into it almost. Mm-hmm. It was like, there's a lot to the game that it takes a while to get used to, but I didn't feel like it was horrible, like hopping onto the Nintendo version, right? Or any old Nintendo game, which seems to be, you have to be a masochist to enjoy them.
Yeah, totally.
But you go into this one, it was, you know, a lot of tough parts, but you can easily, it paces well. There's little, like, you can take a break in a hallway, you can sit there and farm an easy spot for fuel ups and things like that. Like, you can grind it out.
Yeah.
Go on to the next spot that you're having issues with. And
yeah, totally.
Yeah, no, I both those points are great. I'd have to agree with. It's just
so well made that, like, yeah, well said.
I'm nodding for those of you that can't see me.
Yeah, it's an audio podcast, but they'll hear the wind. It's perfect for that. It just, like you said, it's you can get into parts where they're so intense, you know, but then you'll get to other parts where you're like, this is just, I can get a fucking breather. You get by one of those pipes that keeps spitting out those fucking, and you just sit there like picking them off and just like, I'm going to just catch my breath. I'm just going to refill here. And think about, where the fuck am I supposed to go next? Because that's a lot of that game, is trying to figure out, where the fuck do I go next? You know what I mean? But that's okay. But it's fun. It's in a fun way, though. You never feel like it's just stupid and you don't know where to go.
And the whole opening sequence is just intensity, right? Like, that buildup of this empty space station. And then when you finally beat Ripley and she flies off and you're like, yeah, you got to escape, like that. Like, right at the beginning of the game, like that countdown's and everything's tilting, and you're like, oh my God,
what's
going on here? And then it's just like, what a way to start the game. And then you just land on this planet, and it's like raining, and it's quiet, and it's, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Well, and for like the first 20 minutes, once you're on that planet, like, there's no enemies, there's no sound, it's just walking around and nothing.
Yeah, for a 16-bit game with no voice acting, no 3D, nothing. They do a phenomenal job of establishing like an atmosphere, of making you be like, where the fuck am I? And like, what is this place? You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you slowly start running like some easy shit. And then all of a sudden shit hits the fan and suddenly it turns into this whole different game. But you're right. Like, the atmosphere of it is just incredible.
Yeah.
You know, you're never like, I mean, I love Mario. Like, I love Mario, but there's no atmosphere in fucking Mario. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, whereas this game, like, yeah, it was a whole different experience. And to see that, like, it's easy to look back on it now and be like, wow, that was crazy, but like, we didn't realize how limited the hardware was then, and for them to still be able to accomplish that is
It was a very colorful game. Like, it's just like each area was so vibrant.
Yeah.
Like, when you're in the fire lava area to the underwater area, like, it's just, they had their own little, like, you know, obviously atmosphere. That's what they're going for.
But right.
It's just every time you got to a new place, you're like, whoa. Like,
yeah.
You just kind of embrace it and just kind of feel what it was going to give to you. And of course, where can't I go? Because, oh, there's going to be a new item coming up because I see squares that have crosses on them. Like, what's that mean? You know, or you see a level area where you can't jump to.
Yeah.
How do I get up there? And you're just, okay, let's find this new piece of gear that's going to get me everything I need.
Yeah, totally.
That was always my favorite bit when you get a new item. Is like, shit, I got to go back to that room.
Yeah.
Way back there. You know.
Dude, yes.
Track of all those.
Like, to this day, like, and I think this game is the reason, because after I played this game, I was like, dude, this game's fucking sick. Like, I know it's an overused word these days, but I love Metroidvania games today. Like, those types of games where, and I mean, you could go as far as to, like I look at, did either of you ever play the Batman, like, Arkham Asylum?
Oh, yeah.
Arkham, absolutely. Like, those games are sick, right?
Yes.
But really what they are is a giant Metroid, right? Where, like, you see stuff, like Riddler things or whatever, and you're like, I don't know how the fuck to get that. Then you get a new item, you're like, well, now I can get that.
Yeah.
And this game, to me, maybe didn't invent it, because I know it existed on the NES and stuff, but this was the first one that nailed it. You know, like, I remember watching it at your house, Dan, and I remember seeing those fucking, those boxes along the top, like you said, with the, like, those little circle cross thingies in them, and you had to get
grapple
that
points.
Yeah, and you had to get that grapple hook thing, then you could swing to them, and I remember seeing you do it, like, watching you play it, but then the first time I played it, I didn't have that right away, and I was like, well, the fuck do I get across there? And then when you unlock it, like you said, instantly your first thought is like, shit, I gotta go back to all these places and see what else I can find, you know? And that's, it's so well done, because you're so excited to just, because there's a ton of backtracking in this game, right? A ton of just going around in circles, trying to figure where to go next, but it never gets boring. Like, it's always exciting and fun, because you never know what the new thing you're going to find is, right?
There's always, you always try to cheat your way, because you know there's areas you couldn't access without abilities, but they had the wall jump, like you can jump up a wall, basically. I could never get the timing down.
Yeah.
But, or the running where you, like, the power jump, which I could never could get, but.
Those two, and I could never do this one, was the bomb jumps, where if you timed your bombs.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you can theoretically, like in that first world, you can get all the way up to the top of the screen, but if I got two jumps in a row, I was ecstatic.
Yeah, that's a skill I never got. And then, there's that part where, I don't know what it is, if it's like a fucking, it's almost like a bunny,
like
or, something.
Ostrich or something.
Yeah, and it runs in, it does
the
wall jump.
The ostrich, that is there to teach you that, and then the bunnies do the wall jump.
And then you're trying to figure out, like, dude, to, like, I guess, like, all three of us, like, I consider myself a half-decent gamer, particularly retro 16-bit. Mm-hmm. But, like, God, I suck at that. And I'm like, does everyone suck at this? Or is it just me? Like, it won't make me feel bad. Like, can either of you do that with any?
No, not consistently.
Okay.
Especially the wall jump, because you had to be doing the jump that had you twirling.
Yeah.
And you had to be moving when you hit the jump button. But in all the areas that require it, you have these little itty bitty bit of room. So you're trying to do it, and it's just, you fall down lots.
It was so frustrating. Like, I was playing, like, I finally looked it up online, and I'm like, am I fucking stupid? Like, why can't I do this? And everyone
just watch a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Like, how to do this, and the guy doesn't even talk. He's just like, don't.
He just does it, and you're like, so what the fuck? And then finally, like, I read something where they were explaining it, like, you have to hit it at this exact moment, And then when you finally land one, you're like, oh shit, how'd I do that? Because then you don't hit the second one, you have to do it all over again. That's the one part of that game. And I was going to bring that up, because I just, as soon as we'd agreed we were going to talk about Super Metroid, I was like, that fucking part, we have to wall jump up that hall, drives me insane.
Or right after, I think it's the space jump, where you, same thing, you got to be doing the spinning. But if you hit the button quite wrong, you just fall all the way back down.
And you have to do it again. Yeah. Ugh. Okay, maybe it's not perfect, but it's still good. And Rob, you said earlier, like, it looks gorgeous. Like, when I think of 16-bit gaming, like, this is one of those, like, I think of that orange fucking Samus, like, from the side, and then just, like, the levels. Like, I just, in a game where, like, everything is supposed to be kind of dark and scary and isolated, you don't know where the fuck you are, they do a great job of making it, like, colorful and fun to look at,
even,
you know?
Like, the first boss, like, not the statue, but, like, the big plant, the Venus flytrap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just the way it looked, and, like, the spores and, like, everything, I was like, wow, like, technically at the time was phenomenal. Like,
yeah.
It blew you away, and you just, like, you didn't even want, like, just seeing it bobbing around, and, like, when you kill it and it just dies and it just kind of shrivels to that dark green and black color.
Yeah.
And this was one of the first games I played where you could see that you were hurting the enemies more, like they'd get darker and darker.
Right.
And that dark red, and then it's like, oh, so close, and you're like, I've only got two hits left, I can do it. Like, it was just like watching them get darker was such a pump up.
Yeah, it's like the graphic, like, they deserve a ton of credit for everything they were able to do with such limited fucking hardware. Because that game has more atmosphere and more of that kind of stuff too than games that are made today, in my opinion. Like, not all, but obviously. But there are games today with, like, the fucking PS4, Switch, Xbox, like, the consoles they have today that can't do what this game managed to accomplish.
They try so much more. And you're just like, yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah. That's the problem. When you're trying to go for photorealistic thing, it doesn't look quite real to you. But when you're looking at this game, and, you know, I can't look at Super Metroid and say, oh, yeah, that looks totally realistic.
Right.
But it has, like, just that old look to it that is just, it's art. Like, it's literal art. It's moving art.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is art. Like, video games are art, and sometimes they don't get the credit for that, I think, that they deserve. I think most people listening to this probably do, because we're all gaming nerds, but, like, you're right, it is art. And, like, I mean, I harped on it to fucking nauseam on this podcast, but the Super Nintendo did art perfectly, and this game is in the top three or four examples of just how gorgeous a game could look on that without making it look real. It doesn't look real. You don't feel like you're in the game, but you do feel like you're in it at the same time. It was perfect, you know.
And it was ahead of its time in the sense, like, Samus, you know, being the heroine, right? Like,
everybody
always talks about, like, women in gaming and things like that, and it's most of the time growing up, like, we're all used to, you know, how many male centered characters.
Sure.
She was always, like, badass, right? Like,
yeah, and she is a complete badass. Yeah. Like, I play as her in Smash.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, because she's so dope. I'm like, I suck with her. Like, I don't do. But I'm like, she just looks so cool. I'm like,
Dan's go-to
when Smash, still right up to the Wii U one, because I don't own a Switch and don't have the newest one, but still one of my favorite characters.
Samus. Yeah, she's a really rad character. And you're right, like, it's like, I didn't know it at the time, but, like, I know that when you beat the NES one, I think that was when they first reveal
it's 100%.
Yeah. Then they reveal, like, she's in, like, a bikini or something. Like, they reveal that, like,
green hair.
Yeah. But, like, you're right. Like, for them to make that decision, like, that back then, like, it would have so easy. They didn't have to make it a human.
Yeah.
It could have just been a robot, or it could have been, like, just some jag dude in a robot suit. But, like, then to find out that it's, like, this, like, skinny girl who's, like, this total badass is real. Like, that, you're right. It's a very cool and progressive thing that if someone did now, people would just be like, yeah, whatever.
Yes.
But, like, to do it back then, like, she might be the first one.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
The first American one, there was, I think, two Japanese games that had female-centric protagonists. But the first North American one, I'm pretty sure.
Sure, yeah. I believe that, too. Like, I can't think of another one. And she's so rad. Like, I mean, because, like, before that, it was all Zelda and Princess, at the time, like, Princess Toadstool. Like, whatever. Yeah, I'm in trouble. Save me. And she was like, I fucking got this. Yeah. Like, shut up. I got this. Another thing I love about this game is the power-ups. Like, it's like, I just finished playing Doom, the new Doom game, and it's fun.
It is.
But, like, you're carrying, like, as is with most games, you have, like, a dozen weapons. You're hauling them all around at once. You know what I mean? And, like, to me, Mega Man did it too. But, like, Metroid did a great job of making sense as to why you have all these weapons, because they're all just, like, things programmed into her suit, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to say, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, and there was a, the bosses were really cool, and I'm we're going to talk about that later, but it was always for me is like, what am I going to get after this?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's always the most exciting, like, and I feel like that with Mega Man too, like I'm always excited about beating a robot and then getting their power, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, with this one, I'm always excited to explore because, yeah, you get to someone like that and you're like, or when you come across those, I don't know what the fuck they are, for lack of a better term, like those giant praying mantis things or whatever. Like those statues that sit with the items on them, right?
Yeah, the statues are the Chozo, and then those praying mantis things are the space pirates.
Right, yeah, the Chozo, that's what it is, yeah. And you're always just like, oh, yeah, you're going to get something. It could literally just be more missiles.
Yeah.
And you're excited, much less if it's a new power-up or a new weapon or item or fucking...
Well, nothing sucked more when you had, like... You find a door that you want to get into, but you have no missiles, and you're like, oh, go farm them. And-
yeah, then you got to go farm for more. And like, by the end of that game, dude, if you really explore, like, have you ever, have either 100%? Like, I've never 100%ed it.
No.
You, like, even if you, like, just to beat it, like, you feel like a badass.
Yeah.
You're so powerful, you know? And then, Dan, like you said, the boss fights in this game, like, I mean, Rob, you mentioned the plant fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm completely ignorant to any other names, if they even tell us what the names are. But there are some wicked bosses in this game, right? Like, there's some sick...
Well, it's that, so, like, that big red one in the lava, and you have to push it towards, like, the lava.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's, yeah.
You think you beat it, and all of a sudden it comes
pops
out, like,
up,
a skeleton,
yeah.
But just dies, and you're like,
yeah.
Is this going to keep going?
Like, yeah.
That's probably one of my favorite moments of that game, is, like, after you finally manage to kill it, because you can't hurt it. All you can do is keep pushing it back farther and farther until it falls and dies. And then, yeah, it pops out of the wall, and it's like, holy shit!
Yeah, it legitimately surprises you, and you're like, okay, here we fucking go again, and then you don't have to fight him again. But, yeah, it's like, I love the boss fights in it. They're all so intense. Like, when you get pulled into one, you're like, it's like, and I mean, some video games, you know, like again, I love Mario, but... You get into a boss fight against one of the kids or against a Boom Boom or something in Mario,
jump
and you're like,
four times.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, here we go. Whereas, like, in this game, you get to a boss fight, and it's like deep breath, like, oh, fuck.
It's not like a normal boss door like in Mega Man. It's just a regular door.
It's yeah,
like
yeah.
Go in, and then you're like, oh, crap, I'm fighting this big green giant.
Yeah, you realize you walked into something, yeah.
The closest you get is a little bit before the boss. Like, you get those doors that's like the eyeball covering it.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So that's it's never their next room. It's just somewhere coming up.
Yeah.
There's the boss.
It's almost just enough to make it, it adds that intent, that tense feeling where you're just like, fuck.
It's like if you're playing the Dark Souls game, you get that fog wall, right? And you're just like, oh, I know something's up.
Yeah, yeah. And you never know when it's going to come out and kick you in the face. Dude, yeah.
Yeah, no, the boss design's like, I mean, Ridley's, you know, the giant space dragon's pretty awesome, but the plant was one of my favorite looking bosses.
Yeah.
Because it was just kind of out of nowhere. And then, I mean, you've got Big Fat Kraid.
That's who I was going to bring up. Yeah, that's that fucking giant lizard fucking looking thing.
You have to jump on it's the things that shoots out or something like that.
Yeah, he shoots out the little platforms out of his four belly buttons, and you got to shoot that so you can shoot him in the face. And then there's the other floating one that... And I know theoretically you can actually kill it, but the only way I've ever been able to do it is let him grab you and then grapple. You grapple like the electric ports on the wall. And then it zaps him. Yeah, I think it's on the
ghost. Oh, shit. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's so ingenious, right? Like, is that not clever for a game that's... I'll look up the day before I post this. I would assume this game came out probably, like, 93, 94, somewhere in there.
It came out after I came back to Canada, so probably, I think, I want to say 94.
Yeah. Like, that's fucking ingenious stuff for back then.
Ahead of their games, like, ahead of the times.
Totally, right? Or, like, the part... Remember the part where you go through... You run through this glass tube... Like 300 fucking times. And then I had to look it up. And you drop like a super bomb or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, the power bomb. And you shattered. But you go through like four other ones and none of them break.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just one. And if you look at it, it has a small crack.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, oh, that's cool. Like, it's a nice atmosphere thing. Didn't think anything of it.
I think it sucked because at first you're slow and everything. You can't really jump through the water. You have to get the upgrade for your suit to.
Yeah, yeah.
To get a little bit quicker, but.
That's just another, like, really, like, all they had to do really was add a fucking hallway that goes up to the left, and then you're in that, like, in that cavern. Like, you could maybe, like, get into that cavern where you land on the glass tube, but you don't actually blow it up. Like, to put the work into it, to be like, no, you have to drop, and it can't just be, like, a shot. You have to drop, like, a fucking atomic bomb for whatever the hell it is in this glass. Then it'll explode. Then you can climb through and get out of it. Like, that's just all those little nuances, you know what I mean? Like, it's that Nintendo shine, and this game is... Like oozes it, you know.
We're at the bottom of all those pits, and there's like just the two doors on the left and the right. You always checked under the main floor that you're on of that in the middle of those doors because there's usually a drop down below you there.
Yeah. There were so many different ways to explore, just to turn into that little ball and roll around. You never, like, dropping bombs, like, literally just rolling around floors, dropping bombs everywhere.
The good old bomb carpet.
Yeah, just to see, like, where's there a hole, where there's a hole. And I haven't played this game in a few years, but isn't, like, don't you get something where you can, like, scan walls?
Yeah, you get the x-ray scope.
Right?
About three quarters of the way through the game. And then, you just spend every second is, like, looking at every wall. Every floor.
But it was like, to me, that's smart because that was them being like, we know people want to find everything. They're never going to find it. They're getting close. Like, let's throw them a bone. You know what I mean? Yeah. And now you have this handy little thing. And now it's one more reason to go back and backtrack everything because you're like, I think I have all the items to help me travel around. Now I just have to find the places I can get into to travel around. And it tacks another 5, 6, 7 hours onto the game. I'm just going back and backtracking, right? Definitely. Like, it's, I kind of wish that I had played it before the internet. I think it would have been a different experience to play when you couldn't cheat and look up where to go.
Technically, you don't have to look everything.
I know, but I don't have that kind of willpower anymore.
It's like, I mean, that back then, and not many people played this game back then.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, you know, a lot of the games where you could ask everybody because everybody was playing it. I mean, at least the first time I played it, I think there was one or two other people I knew of that had played the game and were generally as lost as I was.
Yeah, this is one of those ones that, like, over the course of time, it's become an absolute, like, iconic title in gaming history is Super Metroid, right? Like, it's
usually in, like, the top 10 of, like, most top 100.
Totally.
Or at least top 15. Like, it's usually up there.
Totally. Yeah. It's on all the top lists. It's one of the highest. You know what I mean? Like, it's, but you're right. Like, back in the day, I don't remember, like, I mean, just the three of us and then all the other kids. Like, I hardly remember anyone playing Super Metroid. I don't remember seeing it. Like, the only place I ever saw this game was at your house, Dan, in passing. Like,
yeah. Well, and this wasn't even one that we all played a lot, like, kind of together. It was, I played it a lot. And then both of you guys, I remember coming over and seeing a bit. And then we would put on Mario Kart.
Right. Like, I can't, like, and then there's a good example. So, like, when you think of the Super Nintendo, the games, like, if you look at the Super Nintendo Classic or whatever, like, you think about the games that have eight, like, you think of Super Mario World, you think of Yoshi's Island, you think of the RPGs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and even some of those, like, Earthbound got criminally overlooked, right? And that's why those games are
that
so...
That came out right at the end of the life cycle.
And that's why it's so fucking expensive now, right? But you think of Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island, you think of Super Mario Kart, you think of the Donkey Kong Country games. So, right? Like, there are games that when you think of the Super Nintendo, like, yeah, these games are all masterpieces.
NHL 94 even. Like,
sure, the NHL game. Yeah. Link to the Past, right? Yeah, like, it's all games that everyone played that became legendary titles, but they're ones that everyone played back then. Yeah. And I know everyone loves Super Metroid now, as they should, because it's a fucking masterpiece. But people didn't love it back then, you know?
No, a lot of people I've talked to that have been big fans of it. It's all been looking, I mean, in some cases, it's only been a few years after it came out, but it's, I don't know anybody that can say that, yeah, they played this right when it came out and loved it then.
No, totally. Like, it's, I mean, I know myself and a lot of people, like, I didn't go back to it till after I played Metroid Prime. Mm-hmm. I thought Metroid Prime was cool. Yeah. It looked gorgeous. So then I was like, okay, well, now I want to see what else happened in this game. And that's when then when they announced the Wii Virtual Console and put Super Metroid on, that was the first time I played it. And I was like, oh, I prefer this to the first person shooter, you know, but like, everyone, like, I don't know if you guys know, but like, so they just delayed Metroid Prime 4. They said something like they're starting over it.
Yep.
Yeah. They're basically starting over it. And I know a lot of people are upset and I get it because I wanted to play it too. But like, Metroid is just not the franchise, like the draw as a franchise that fucking Mario, Donkey Kong, Pokemon,
exactly. Like,
Zelda.
Nintendo comes out with a new system and it's your basic.
Right. People aren't clamoring. Like, I know that the Metroid franchise has its fan base, but they're just not. It's not on the level of those other games, right? It just isn't.
Well, and most of the fans that I've talked to people online and things, and it's, they would rather have no game than a bad game.
Totally. And I feel like that too.
Especially after Other M.
Yeah.
You should listen.
Yeah, fuck. Isn't that the truth, EA? Fucking, if EA made Metroid, you'd have to pay like $10 to upgrade your missile count or something. Exactly. And you wouldn't be able to get through a door without paying it.
$10 missiles.
No, this game is perfect.
Pre-order now to get this special ability no one else will have.
Yeah. And just quickly before we wrap this thing up, wasn't there something, and I never did it, but like, because it showed you like how long it took you to beat it. Didn't you get like different endings if you beat it like a certain amount of time or something?
Yeah, it was, and I could never get the good one because I always spent too much time running around. But I think it was if you had it in under 3 was the best one, under 5, and then everything past that.
Like 5 out, yeah.
Mine are always in like 10 plus hours.
Sure.
It was one of the first games to really start pushing speedruns.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was like rewarded you for faster time.
And that's clever, right? Because if you, like, I mean, back in the, in those days, like, I mean, maybe it was different for people our age back in those days, but I know, like, for the three of us, like, when you got a new game, like, say you got a game for Christmas, it was like, well, this is what you're playing till fucking your birthday or whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is your game. And so, like, to give something like that, where, like, even if you did beat it, even if you knew that game, like, the back of your hand, which I can't imagine anyone did, then there's still a reason to play it again and try to get to those speed runs to see the better endings. Because we didn't invite YouTube to look up the better endings. The only way you were going to see it was to fucking earn it.
How
so.
Did we live? No.
Yeah, yeah, right? A better and worse time to live at the same time. So, yeah. Dude, what fuck? What a great game. What would you guys give? We're going to wrap this thing up because we got to get out of here. We got some stuff going on tonight. What would you guys give Super Metroid on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'll give it an 8.5.
Okay.
Just because the wall jumping really...
Oh, fucking wall jumping. I get anxiety just thinking about the fucking wall jumps.
I've got to go 9.5. This game has just made me love that franchise, and it is. It's one of my favorite games.
Yeah, yeah. I'll split the difference. I'll go with 9 because I don't have nostalgia strings for it, and the wall jumps cost it half a point because the wall jumps fucking suck.
The fact that they threw those wall jumps into the first Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Not every character could do it, but I know Samus could.
Oh, fuck. That's just a fuck with people. Fucking Metroid. On a system full of absolute masterpieces, this game still stands out. Like, to me, the only games on the... Like, I mean, to me, like, when you're talking to Super Nintendo, you think of Super Mario World, you think of Link to the Past, you think of the RPGs, like Final Fantasy VI, and Super Metroid is right there. Like, it's as good as all of those.
Oh, absolutely.
Fuck, Super Nintendo's the best system ever. You guys, that was fun. Thank you very much for doing it. It was great seeing you guys. It was great catching up. And let's not wait, like, 20 years before we fucking do this again.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Sounds good, buddy.
Done. That's going to do it for this week's episode. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Rob and Daniel, it was so fucking cool getting to record one of these episodes with you guys. Thank you so much for doing it. We do have another episode in the bank, the three of us, of another absolutely iconic game that I'm going to drop a few weeks from now. Like I said off the top, I've probably said it 100 times. If you have never played Super Metroid, you as a gamer owe it to yourself to find a way to play it. I guarantee you it is worth your time. It's so good. That's it, you guys. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/rememberthegame. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at memberthegame. So throw us a follow there. Throw us a like. We follow everybody back. I love interacting with you. If you guys enjoyed the show this week or if you've enjoyed any previous episode of the show, please leave us a good review on iTunes and stuff like that. Please tell a friend. Let's keep this thing going onward and upward toward episode 50. I can't thank you all enough for listening. And with that said, I'm going to shut up, get out of here, and go play some Resident Evil on my PlayStation Classic. Again, for $30, it's worth it. Don't pay more than $30 for it. And thanks for listening, guys. I will check in with you again in 7 days. Take it easy. Cheers.